Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Matthew chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we once again do welcome you to Cross Point Baptist Church. Good to see some family and friends that are in town visiting, and we do welcome you to the services. And we've been in a series on Sunday night entitled The Sermon on the Mount. And this is part 14 of that series, and we've been just kind of coming through verse by verse here in an expository manner and opening up and really just getting the application. We know there's a twofold application here, but really making it applicable to our lives. And we once again find ourselves here in Matthew chapter number 5. Would you please stand with me as you find us in the Word of God this evening? Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to begin reading here in verse number 14 in just a moment. And for those of you who are visiting with us, you got to recall now that Christ is speaking to his disciples. He looks out at this multitude. He sees this multitude. There are many that have come, whether it's to worship him. They've heard about this man. They've heard about this healer. They've heard about this miracle worker. And the Bible says there's multitudes that come. Historians tell us that there could be up to several thousand that could have gathered, at least several hundred that are there to see this Christ, this Jesus. And as they gather there, some maybe have gathered from a long way away, a distance. Perhaps some have come to ask him questions. There might have been those that have gathered their family there, and they heard of some miracles that he was working. So they're going to bring their family, and hey, we want these people to be sick, and we want them to be healed of this sickness, and we want them to be healed of whatever it is that was bothering them. And the Bible says here in verse number 1 and 2 that Jesus looks out at this multitude. He sees them, and he goes up into a mountain. And we recall several weeks ago that this almost seems like it would be rude. I mean, my word, these people have come. They didn't want to hear from Jesus, and yet he sees them. He takes his disciples. He sits down and begins to teach them. And you and I have been drawing application, understanding that what Christ is teaching his disciples is applicable for you and I living in Marion County today. You and I living in 2021, about to enter into this new year. These are precepts. These are applications. This is really a foundation for you and I living our Christian life. And what you and I have seen from this is that these are things that you and I grow in. You see, we have an Abba Father. The more you and I draw close to him, the more you and I are going to be like him. The more you and I are in the Word of God, the more you and I are going to begin to take on those attitudes and those attributes that our Heavenly Father lived on this earth, we are going to have as well. So we're going to continue in this series, and we saw 3 weeks ago that we're called this word salt, which was kind of unusual. But then last week, we begin to kind of set this foundation of not only salt, but you and I are also called light. And tonight we're going to once again look at salt and light. Look with me at verse number 14, and we're going to continue on looking at salt and light tonight. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says this: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Salt and light. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight. Father, in the next couple of moments, just really in this challenge this evening, I ask that you would be magnified, that you'd be glorified and honored. Lord, as we've sung these hymns tonight, Lord, we do so just thinking about you coming so many years ago. And we are thankful, Lord, that you did come. Now, Father, as we concentrate on your word, it's easy, Father, to get caught up in our lives, to think of the concerns of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow, to think about all we've got going on, the new year that's approaching, and Father, our businesses and those who are unhealthy and those who are in the hospital and all the things that we got to do. But God, help us to take a deep breath and a deep breath in you. Lord, let your Holy Spirit have free reign for the next couple of moments. God, why are we here? Why did we walk in these doors? Why do we open our Bibles? Are we doing it for a checklist? Or do we really want to grow? Father, I ask, Lord, that it be the latter. Help us to grow in you this evening. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus uses, as we've seen, two incredible but yet powerful metaphors to describe his people. They're a little bit unusual and maybe not something that you and I would think of all the time, but he uses salt and light. We saw last week that both of these substances are very powerful. They're both very valuable. They're useful. However, as we begin to look at them, they are vastly different. We came through salt, and there is so much that is covered in salt that you'd almost think, okay, I mean, what else could we cover? What else can we even go through when we talk about the life of a Christian? And yet, they're both very useful, both salt and light, but as we've seen last week, they are very different. They both have their respective functions. For instance, we saw last week that salt is hidden, but light is very obvious. Salt works secretly while light works openly. We saw that salt works from within and yet light works from without. Salt speaks of the indirect influence of the gospel, while light pictures the direct communication that the gospel has on the world around you and I. Salt is largely negative. It can retard corruption, but it cannot change corruption into incorruption. Light is more positive. It not only reveals what is wrong and false, but it helps produce what is righteous and true. You see, we understand that both salt and light have the ability to alter the world. Therefore, when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he is also showing them that you and I as Christians have the ability to alter the world as well. I said it last week, and I'm just going to say it this week, and we're going to move on. I think oftentimes what we've done in our churches is we've so concentrated on what is wrong. We go through and we almost begin to make this checklist. Well, we can't do this. We can't wear this. We can't listen to this. We can't watch this. We can, we can, and we can't. We almost have concentrated so much on making these lists, and we come to the Word of God, and God, we want to know, and just give us this list of don't and don't and don't and don't, and can't be involved in. But we've got to understand that life is so much more. You see, this Word, this Bible, it is a light, and what the Word of God begins to do is it begins to show us what is righteous and what is pure and what is holy, and you and I can look at the Word of God and we can live in this culture. You see, we sometimes so concentrate on what is wrong in culture. Culture, culture, bad is culture. Well, culture this, culture that. Have you heard this? And this is wicked. And this is. Okay, look, check it out. We know this from our family series during the summer. We understand that culture, there's a lot in culture that's wrong. There's a lot in culture that's wicked. There's a lot in culture that does not align with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, which once again, let me say, they are always going to align. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, if you believe that, they're always going to align. Would you say amen tonight? They never go contrary one to another. But you and I cannot concentrate so much on culture. Research, what is wrong? This is wrong. Can we do this? Can we not? Can we? We're going to become bogged down. May you and I, as Christians, live a life that the light is shining through you and I, that we're not concentrating on the culture around us. No, watch now. I believe as Christians, you and I ought to be setting the culture in this world. If you agree with that, say amen. We are the ones that ought to be setting the culture. You and I are the ones that ought to be living a life that when others look at our life, they desire what you and I have. Therefore, what we saw last week is light's power. The power, number one, that light has. Look at verse number 14 with me. It says this. It says, ye, watch now, ye are the light of the world. Now, I'm not going to go back through, but if you were not with us last week, you could jump online on Facebook or on our website and listen and watch it as we begin to dive into the power that light has. But for the next couple of moments, I want to continue and not only look at light's power, but secondly, if you're taking notes this evening, light's place. The place that a light has. Look at verse number 14. It says this. It says, ye are the light of the world. Now watch the continuation here. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You see, since this light is so precious and so powerful, where or how can this light be seen? What is the place of this light? Where there is the light of an institution. You see, the Jesus refers to, watch now, it says this, near the light of the world. Look at the continuation after this period. A city that is set on a hill. You see, a city is not just a single light. It is many lights. It's a collection of lights. The cities of this day, historians tell us, often would have been constructed out of white limestone. And historians tell us that, and commentaries tell us that, that what they would have done with it, would they have taken this limestone and they would have made this paste. And then they would have taken this paste and on the outside of their buildings, on the outside of their houses, they would have rubbed this white limestone all over the outside of their houses. It would have been very bright. You would have been able to see it during the day. But then at night, as the candles and the fires would have been lit, it would have reflected off of these white houses, off of these white buildings, the outside, these foundations around it, and it would have been really a glorious sight. It would have been very bright. It could not be hidden, whether it was during the day and or at night. The image of a city on a hill speaks of us letting our lights shine as a community of faith. It speaks, watch now, a city, a collection of lights. It speaks of the influence of the church in the world around us. As a church, we let our light shine by showing who shines through you and I. Did you catch that? Did you comprehend that? Watch now. A collection of lights is you and I not showing ourselves. It's not a show off. No, it's reflecting a light that is on the inside of you and I. Like a city set on a hill, we cannot be hidden. We either declare our stand for Jesus and we testify his saving grace and power, or we take our stand with the world. Watch now. It cannot be both ways. If you comprehend that tonight, would you say amen? It can't be both ways. You and I cannot stand for the world and stand for Jesus. No, no. You and I have got to either stand on the promises and the foundation and the final authority of the Word of God, and or we're going to stand with the world, and we're going to stand with, well, the wickedness. We're going to stand with either positive or negative. We're going to stand for what's right, or we're going to stand for what's wrong. I'm afraid nowadays what we have in Christianity, I know I'm moving a little bit fast, but buckle your seatbelts and let's get through this for a moment. I'm afraid what we have nowadays is we've almost watered the gospel down to a point that we don't have to shine our light and we don't really have to live the Christian life and we've almost come to this place as don't take this out of context, but we're almost embarrassed of the light that lives inside of us. Now, how many are thankful that Jesus came and he died for you and I? Would you say amen? That's not something that you and I ought to be embarrassed over. He is the God of the universe. He is the only God. There are little g gods out there, but let me just tell you this, friend. There is only one God who has always existed and exists today and will always exist, and his name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I ought to let that light shine. Our attitude and our demeanor and our mouth, what does it say? Watch now. He has established in you and I in this place to be a light. I've said it over the last several weeks during the series, but you and I have a testimony at Cross Point Baptist Church. You and I have a testimony. We are living together, and we have a testimony that's going to shine in this region, in this county, and in this city. And what is, watch now, what is our testimony here? Look, I've said it before. I know the world knows what we're against. They know we're against a lot of things. And unfortunately, a lot of times that's all, as independent fundamental Baptists, that's all we're known for. They're against this. They're against this. Boy, you can't do this. They're against, they, I feel like they're against everything. No, no, okay. We are against some things because the Bible says we're against some things. But comprehend this. The Bible also says that we're for things. We're for hope and peace and love and mercy and grace. And you and I at Cross Point Baptist ought to be known as a people, whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or social media, Facebook, whatever it is, or whether it's working in the hospitals or our business, or whether we're in college or whether we're just grabbing coffee, whatever the case might be, you and I ought to have a testimony that we are shining bright, not just a school or a basketball or volleyball team or a cool 27-acre campus that's debt-free. No, no. It's so much more than that. We are showing off the very light who saved you and I from an eternity in hell, and we get to live with him in heaven for all of eternity. If you're thankful for that, we ought to say amen, can we not? That ought to be our testimony. That's our light. That's what you and I live for. Say, my goodness, Pastor Shepherd, you really get worked up. Because, friend, you know what? We ought to get worked up over the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to get excited about what he's done in our life and what he's doing at Cross Point Baptist Church. We ought to be thankful that heading into 2022, we've seen souls saved and people baptized and added to the church and great things done for the Lord. And yes, I know we sent Pastor Brent out. And yes, I know it's going to be hard to say goodbye to Pastor Chris, but friend, let me just put it this way. That's what we are here for, to train up and to send out and train up and send out. And if we happen to outgrow this building, we either are going to build more or we're going to plant more churches in the area. Friend, we're not going to stop. Why? Because we have a light to shine in this area. And we ought to be excited about that. Why? We have a place. It's an institution. And the Lord Jesus Christ started that institution. Christ is for the local church. Amen. It's upon him we are founded. And you and I, as the body of Christ, as the bride, we get to meet in this place. And then we get to disperse and we get to let our light shine. It's light's place not only in the institution, but there is light of an individual. Look at verse number 15. It says this. Neither do men, now verse number 15, chapter 5, Matthew. Neither do men light a candle. Now watch. And put it under a bushel. No, 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 that's not what they do. Here's what they do. But on a candlestick. Well, what's the reason for that? Well, because it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You see, neither do men light a candle. Jesus now is not speaking about a city on a hill. He's talking about an individual candle. And since most houses in this day were windowless, an oil lamp was going to be used, and it would really be necessary for the occupants inside of that tent or inside of that house to be able to see. But no one lit a lamp and then was going to take it and hide it under a basket. I mean, to be honest with you, listen, I just gonna put it this way. I'm not even trying to be mean, but what the Bible's saying here is that honestly would be pretty foolish. Nobody, right now, ladies, I know you're all into it, and I kind of am too, but everybody buys candles. You know, it was real, the fall scents were all in, and now right now it's like, it's like pine needles or whatever. Christmas trees is the big scent right now, okay? And it's Christmas candles, and man, it smells so good. I love it too. To be honest with you, if you go to like CVS and Walgreens, they're super cheap right now, so load up, you know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, just give you a little hint there, but we get these candles. To be honest with you, how crazy would it be to light that scented candle and then take the lid that came on it and just put it right back out? Like, I mean, you're like, okay, Pastor, you only have to belabor the point here. It'd be kind of foolish. To be honest with you, it'd be useless. You're not going to smell it. You walk in the store, what do? You pop that lid off. You smell it. I don't like that smell. You take it off. Why? Because you have to take the lid off, then you got to light it, and then the scent goes out. Look, verse number 15, neither do men light a candle. And it's they're not, the lamp was lit, so there was a reason. I could put it under a basket. The lamp was lit so people in the house could receive the light and see other objects and other people that were in the room.
Comprehend this. This verse is speaking about the power of the individual believer's witness. Just as you and I, as an institution, as a local church, have a witness, so do you and I as individuals. Jesus saved us to be a light for Him. And as He shines His light through us, for those around us, there's those that are going to be in darkness, and they're going to see our light. But when you and I watch now, when we're in this place, that's easy. But when we step outside of these exit doors, you and I are heading on and into a mission field. Watch now. That doesn't mean that we're heading to Africa or Asia or Southeast Asia. We're not going to Laos or Thailand or Vietnam. We're not heading, no. We're not going to Central America. We walk out these exits. We're heading to Avon. We're heading at Brownsburg, we're heading to Indianapolis. But comprehend this. Do you know that right here in our area, this is our mission field? We're going out to a place that's dark and it's dead and it's deceived and it's doomed. And you and I have a world that you and I have to share the very gospel of Jesus Christ with. Why, Pastor? Because it's our mandate. It's our mandate of Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. It's our mission, actually. Chapter 1 of verse number 8, you and I as individuals, are we fulfilling God's purpose for our life or are we not? Now hold on, watch. Now let's just get down to the nitty-gritty for a moment. We all have a light, and we have a light that's supposed to shine bright. But a lot of times we really do hide it. Now let's just be it's family tonight. Let's just talk as a family. Why do we hide that light? A lot of times because it's fear. Well, Pastor, yeah, let them have it. Let us have it. No, hold on. It's fear. The world we live in right now, man, this is a mean world out there. You go on your, I'm not telling you to do it, but you just go on your Facebook tonight and you just put one little sentence out there of how you feel about COVID and how you feel about a vaccine or a mask. Just, I don't care which way you lean, it's none of my business. But just go ahead and put it out there. And I'm telling you what, people you have never heard of in your life are going to jump on there and they are going to chew you up and spit you out. And it's not all going to be nice and pretty and done in the name of Christ. Let me just tell you, it's a mean world out there. You just go ahead and put out there on jump on there, call a shoot on TikTok, and just to say what you believe about marriage being between one man and one woman. Go ahead and put out there how you feel about abortion and what the Word of God says about it. You just go ahead out there. You just begin to post how you align with the Word of God. I'm going to tell you real quick. You're going to find out the world in which we live in is a very mean world. And you know what it does? We don't like that. No, hold on. Before we just, bless God. Okay, look, we're human. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Nobody's like, ooh, pick me, reprimand me. I want it. No, nobody likes that. But to be honest with you, constructive criticism sometimes is very, very tough to take. Iron sharpeneth iron, faithful the wounds of a friend. That's not always easy to take. But sometimes what it does is it pushes you and I back. We take a track out. We go to give it to somebody. And somebody says, no, that's okay. And they're kind of rude about it. What does it do? To be honest with you, it's embarrassing. Okay. All right, yeah. Sorry about that, you know. And then the next time, no, I want you to get that track out and give it to somebody else. Oh, Lord, do you remember what happened last time? I was embarrassed in front of everybody in Kroger. Lord, you got to give me some time. I'm not doing that again. Well, fear. We get into this realm of, We got a light to shine, but here's what we do. We'll put it under a bushel. Why? We fear. Sometimes it's not fear. But sometimes it's just us living our life and our dreams and our aspirations and what our world. And all of a sudden, we start going through this life, and it's been 2, 3, 4 weeks, 4 months, 1 year. We haven't told anybody about God. Oh, we'll argue as people about our political views. Oh, we'll argue about people with our health views. But when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ, I just can't do that. Let me tell you something, friend. Then what are you and I here for? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says here, let your light so shine before men. Look, it's not shining for us. No, you and I have a purpose. Let me tell you, for all the young people who are in here tonight, from up here in Addison all the way back, look, you, Gavin, all the coal, life is so much more than just living a life, staying in your lane, climbing your ladder, staying in, just doing my thing. And this is what I've always dreamed. This is, I'm just here to tell you, friend, there are many Christians who are going to live their life. They're going to get to the end of their life, and they're going to look back, and every treasure that they laid up, when they kiss this world goodbye, they're leaving it all here. Is it okay to live a life and plan ahead without a doubt? I'm not saying we shouldn't at all. What I'm saying is this: there are many who are living their life, and every treasure that they have that's here on this earth, as God said, there are those that are going to live their life and they're going to store it up, and man, grow, got retirement and more business and more growth, and I'm going to live, and whoo, man, my barns can't even take it. Whoo, let's tear these barns down and let's get bigger bank accounts and bigger barns and more houses. And what have they done? They've wasted their 75 to 80 years, 90 years if they're blessed, on this earth, and they've stored and stored and stored. And when they are buried 6 feet in the ground, and when you and I see our Savior face to face, that's when we're going to realize we wasted it. We had a light and we hid it. Why? Maybe it was because of fear, or maybe it was because, well, I just don't honestly care. I got my fire insurance. I'm good to go. I'll head out to my community. I'll do my good works. I'll put my tithe in every once in a while. I'll get in church on Easter and Christmas, and I'll be a good dad, a good mom, and I'll vote right. But after that, oh, thanks God, but I'm good. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I have a light, and this community needs that light. The place for the light is not to be hidden. And well, yeah, I'm saved, but no, that light should be shining. We should be showing forth the praises of him who have called us into his marvelous light. You and I ought to be showing forth the praise to him who's given us joy and peace in a world that's upside down. And he's given us rest, and he's taken everything that's heavy off of us, and we get to cast our burdens upon him. How many are thankful for Jesus' light? Would you say amen? Then if you and I said amen, we ought to show him. Amen. Our families and our neighbors, they need him. The world we live is dark right now. I don't care about your political view, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Let me put it this way. We're in a world of mess right now. Good night. Inflation's going up. Gas is expensive. Jobs are just crazy right now. I mean, you walk in. So I'm actually thankful for kind of cabin coffee owners here tonight. I'm actually thankful for a restaurant that you could go to and they're actually open. How many lately you've been somewhere and you walk up? The other day I went. I can't think of the name. It's kind of a Hispanic place. Qdoba. And I walked into Qdoba and it's locked. I'm like, what in the world? I go around the other door. I wasn't reading signs. I wasn't paying attention. I go to the other door, and here's the sign. No workers, closed. My word. It's a dark world. I wanted Qdoba that day. Where we live in seems really scary. Now we got a Omicron or whatever it is, this new variant. I mean, good grief, we got so many variants coming out, we can't even keep up anymore. People are scared. People are living in fear. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I have Jesus Christ, who hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And you and I ought to be showing, not hiding. No, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, through our lives. So no matter if the grocery store, the gas station, getting your coffee, doesn't matter. Let our light shine. Why? Because we've seen its power. We've seen its place. But here's where I want us to end tonight. The power, the place, but also light's purpose. Look at verse number 16 and we'll be done. Look at verse number 16. It says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, Jesus tells us that this twofold purpose of light he has placed within our hearts. It's the purpose. It's a witness to the lost. I love the wording here. If you look at your Bible, it says we're going to let our light shine. But what are we going to show forth? Well, we're going to show what it says here. It uses two words, good works. What are good works? Good works are works motivated by love, carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and performed for the glory of God. You and I are a witness to the lost, but we're also a witness to the Lord. There is no greater witness than a born-again believer reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, just as light does not exist, check it out now, listen, don't tune out. Just as light does not exist to call attention to itself, but to draw attention to the things that it illuminates. Our witness does not magnify what we have done. Our testimony is about a great God who loves us and saves us when you and I did not deserve His salvation. Our purpose in life is not to have people look at us and say, look, now watch now. This might go contrary to some teaching that maybe you've heard in another church or in your testimony before. Look, watch now. Living the Christian life is not living a life to draw attention to ourselves. Hold on. Did you catch that? It's not to draw attention to ourselves. Well, the reason I dress this way is because I want people to know that I and me and whoa now. We're not putting stuff out there to let our light shine so that we say, yeah, look, here's my light, and I wanted the light to draw, check me out. No. This is not a competition, friend. This is not walking at a cross point of who looks this way and who carries the biggest Bible and who's got the, to be honest with you. But Gary, can I see your Bible real quick? You got to check this thing out. Like, if we are having a competition, friend, this man wins. Look at this Bible. I was walking in church and I saw something reflect and it was dark in here. And I took my light out and I began to shine it. And man, I saw this encyclopedia and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Let's just put it this way. It's not a competition. Brett Gary didn't buy this to be like, yeah, look at me. Boy, me and Kendra, we're the greatest Christians in here. That's not it at all. In fact, I'm not real sure what's all. You got a novel in here you're reading? It's not a competition. It's all about this book. It's all about this word. This is you and I taking the word of God and letting it shine. Why? So that when others look at our life, it's not, yeah, look at me, boy, I'm the Hughes, I'm the Shepherds, look at what a great Christian I am. That's not it at all. No, we're living the Christian life, so when people see our lives, they want what we have. I want the Hughes marriage. I want to raise kids like they've raised. I want the happiness and the joy and the peace that they have. What is it, Brother Hughes? Where do you go to church and what do you do? And how do you live such a happy life and such a peaceful life? And how do your kids get along and love each other? And how, maybe not all the time, but how is it that whatever you have, that's what I want? And stop with you saying, yeah, well, I'll just be honest with you. I went out of the local bookstore and found the biggest King James Bible I could find, and brother, and I mean that's what's made me strong. That's not it at all. No. You and I are living our lives so that we show what God has given and bestowed upon us, and the lost world outside of these four walls, they see you and I living our life, and that's the life that they want. That's the life they desire. That's the life they say, I want that. What do you have? What is it? What is it? Brother Steve, what is it in your life? How do you have that? Dave Blows, show me the secret. What is it? Brother Ted, Miss Peggy, I just got to sit down with you. I just want to know. And that's when you and I do this. Let your light so shine before men. If they may see your good works, now watch, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, we take that light and we let it shine. We don't fear. Is it scary sometimes? Let's be honest. Yes. Is it embarrassing at times? I've been there, done that. Hit somebody a track. Somebody threw it back. I've been at somebody's door. I've knocked. I've had doors slammed on my face. I've been chased by dogs. Is it embarrassing? Yeah, it's not always easy. But let me tell you something. We can't stop, friend. Amen. Scared? Yes. We can't live this light. No, no. We got to let it shine bright. We let that light shine bright, friend. When others want what they see in our life, we are simply a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you and I live the gospel, people are going to look and say and see a difference and know, man, how? I'm so scared. I'm so fearful. I'm so mad. I'm so jealous. I'm so bitter. I'm so angry. You know, I said there, yeah, I'm not. How? Oh, let me tell you about him. His name's Jesus Christ. And he came 2,000 years ago. And he died and he loves you. And he's going to give you a life in heaven. But let me tell you something. He gives you a life worth living right here on this earth. And you can have him. And you can know him. We let that salt, yes, but we let that light have its real purpose. And that purpose is to let it shine, not to draw attention on, look at us, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look what I built. No, no, no. They're going to see our good works. In the end, we're going to glorify our Father, which is in heaven.